Commit our time into the Lord's hands, and we should be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides. And welcome everyone in the name of Jesus, those coming into the room, and we trust tonight, or those midday or in the morning, wherever you are, we trust that you will be blessed. But we commit our time before the Lord now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have drawn us into your presence, and it is by your love and grace and mercy. And Lord, we pray that we would be open to listen, to hear your word tonight. Father, we pray that the seed of your word will produce that fruit in abundance, because you have said that by the fruit they shall be known. And Lord, we thank you for our fellowship, that we're able to come in true unity and oneness of the Spirit. And we commit our time now into your hands and the blood of Jesus over us, and also over the room, and all the saints who are coming in to join us tonight, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, before I get into the word, there has been a prayer request. I believe this is a sister, and who is in a lot of pain, and I believe that this is connected with the heart, and we're going to lift her into the Lord's presence, because God says that I am the Lord that healeth thee, and that by his stripes we were healed. And the word of God says that we should also pray one for another, that we may be healed. So we shall lift this sister now, who is, I'm told, a firm believer. And we shall believe that the Lord's healing hands will touch her life, as we all agree, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Mighty, mighty God, we praise you, Jesus. Mighty, mighty deliverer. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. We praise and worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And Father, we now all agree in the name of Jesus for this sister. And we rebuke this pain now in the name of Jesus. And we confess the blood of Jesus over her. And Father, we thank you that you cast what is not of you as far as the east is to the west. And we thank you for her healing now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this evening I would like to encourage you in the Word, and we shall go as the Spirit leads. And for those of you taking notes, this evening's teaching we are calling Faith Accepts What God Has Given Us in His Word. Faith accepts what God has given us in His Word. And I want to start this off this evening from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I want to take it up from verse 14 onwards up to about verse 18, I think. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 onwards. Our teaching tonight, faith accepts what God has given us in His Word. And here, the Apostle Paul is speaking in context here of where Israel rejected the Word of God. And that is why Israel never made it into the Promised Land, because she failed to accept God's Word and God's dealings. And this has always plagued Israel's history. And we take this up now in verse 14, which says, How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Now, we know that Israel, who was chosen out of all nations, was blessed with God's presence and God's word like no other nation ever has or ever will. In that sense. And yet, we see and we read here that they had a problem with the word of God that they heard. In other words, they didn't like it. They had a problem. And therefore, if you have a problem with the word of God, then you can't hear. And if you can't really hear it in the spirit, then you cannot have faith to believe it. And that's why I'm calling tonight this teaching, Faith Accepts What God Has Given Us in His Word. And brothers and sisters, if we want to walk by faith, totally by faith in these last days, and I believe the Holy Spirit will do this, then we are not to argue with God's Word. We're not to keep questioning it or doubting it. But the word of God which we hear is on the basis of simply believing. And if we know that God is a God of love, and He loved us first from the foundation of the world, then God is not going to give us anything that will damage us or hurt us or deceive us. We have to trust in God's character, His integrity, His all-consuming love. We have to settle that God loves us and He will not deceive us. And He will lead us and guide us to the right ministries, the right shepherds, the right flock, the right brothers and sisters, the right fellowship, and so on. That's why I often keep saying that we're here tonight not by accident, but by divine appointment. It is God who has put it in our hearts to be here in fellowship and unity here tonight. And he wants us to rest in that and to believe that. Therefore, that releases us to be able to hear God's word and believe it, and it's in the believing that we release that faith. Because that is what it says here in verse 17, which we all of us know, which he says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, of course, it uses the word hearing because most couldn't read. Most of the word, particularly under Israel, was given either by Moses or by the priest who taught them. Whereas today, we're able to hold these 66 books, the revelation of God's word, and most of us all can read. So how much more then should we be in faith as we read the word of God, as we hear the word of God? We therefore should have this strong faith, and yet we don't find this in the house of God. And the reason I believe that many don't have this strong faith is because not always do we accept what God has given us. And of course we all try and make excuses, and many do, and many will say that that's their interpretation, or taking it out of context, and indeed that can be. But remember that the word of God says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we have a responsibility with the light that God gives us. But he's never going to give us anything that we cannot take. Anything that's beyond us. He may challenge our faith, and that is good. That is healthy. But God also loves us, and he's going to gently steer us and guide us as the great shepherd does. So here, what we've read here in Romans 10 is tragically where Israel rejected the word of God, and as a result of it, she perished. And she has roamed for all those years. But of course, we now know that in these last days, God is restoring Israel, ready for her to receive her Messiah. So it comes by hearing and reading. It doesn't come by wishful thinking. The word of God doesn't come in that way. The word of God isn't given to us where we can pick and choose what we would like to hear and what we don't want to hear. And tragically, we have many, many Christians who go around from ministry to ministry and church to church because they want to pick out the things that they want to hear. And when it starts to get their name and address on it, then they decide to go somewhere else. And this tragically happens all too often because they don't receive faith in that way. And really, they're committing the same sin that the children of Israel did. And that's why we have it recorded here in the New Testament, because it's a warning to us. And we know that there is nothing new under the sun. And sadly, we also know that history repeats itself over and over again, because human nature is what it is until God touches our life. You see, it takes time for us to obey his revealed will, his word. And you see, many trying to change his word for self or to indulge. For example, there are those that have taken the abundant life to the extreme, where they have used all the blessings of God's word and simply to indulge themselves, so that God will give me everything and what I want. And that's tragically what happened to that teaching, the abundant life. It was taken to extreme. And what were they doing? They were indulging themselves in the word of God and picking out what they wanted to hear and rejecting what they didn't want to hear. And that is where things go tragically wrong. This is how cults can come. You can always tell a cult because a cult will generally major on certain scriptures or certain parts of the Bible. And it will constantly use it and constantly keep preaching on it, and it comes up every time in the preaching. It's elaborated, worked on, but you will always find that that is the sole point. So for example, people, as I said, who are taking the abundant life, that will come up almost in every preaching. That God will bless, God will give you everything you want and so forth. And it's emphasized, it keeps coming up in the teaching. Well, when you begin to hear that sort of thing, you need to be on your guard. Because things are going wrong. In other words, they are not really preaching the whole counsel of God's word. From Genesis to Revelation. Which one is to do? You see, it's so easy to pick out a certain diet that you like. You can see that over into the physical. There are some people who will only eat just certain foods. And so every time they have a meal, they will just eat certain foods over and over again. Instead of eating an abundant of food that God has given us, food that will also do us good and give us a full, varied diet. We'll take that over into the spiritual, and you've got many professing Christians who just want to hone in on certain teachings and certain doctrines. Another thing, another area I'm going to expose tonight. And there is, with a lot of charismatics in particular, where there's such an emphasis on Israel. And all you hear in the teachings on Israel, and the Old Testament, and the Jews. Now, we preach on Israel. We preach about Israel being restored as well as the church. We preach on Israel's history in the past. But there are some people who all they can hear and want to hear is about Israel or the politics of Israel. And all the prayer meetings they will go to is praying for the nation of Israel and so on. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but they're signs of cults. They're going to extreme. God has given us a full word, a full revelation. And we have to be balanced in our teaching. That's why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Faith Accepts What God Has Given Us in His Word. And we don't question it. We don't argue with it. We just believe with that simple childlike faith what God gives to us. And this is why, brothers and sisters, it's important for us to pray for the word. I need your prayers for these meetings. Your prayers are valuable for a meeting like this tonight. So that your prayers are helping us all to have that balanced spiritual diet that God wants us to have. And as I say so often, ministers will only go as far as the saints are prepared to pray for the word, to pray for that minister. So you see, we're all involved. That's what body ministry is about. And you see, isn't that some people just want to hear certain teachings? And the problem is with this because they still, in many ways, have a carnal mind. And they will not accept the true revelation of God's word. Hence, they can't be nourished fully in the Word of God. And of course, we can see this in Scripture. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 19 to 16. 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except that of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and cannot be known, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that clearly teaches us that it's the Spirit that enlightens us. It's the Spirit that opens our minds and hearts, that we can read this word and receive it spiritually into our lives. Not applying man's wisdom, man's understanding, but our wisdom is enlightened and quickened by the Spirit. That is how we discern. That is how we learn. That is how we have a strong faith. By that principle, how the Holy Spirit's come. That's why Jesus told the disciples that when he goes, he will come back, for he will send the Comforter. He will come back. Jesus has come back to us in the Comforter. That's how he appears to us now spiritually, through the Comforter, being the Word, ministering the Word, and teaching us. That's what's so wonderful about all of this. Now let's compare this with John 15, Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 15 to 17. John 15, verses 15 to 17. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know who his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So he says, no longer do I call you servants, for servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, or brethren, for all things what I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Friends, if you're a servant, you're not going to hear this tonight. He's not called us to be servants. He's called us to be friends, brothers, sisters. He makes known to us. That is why we receive these things by revelation and not by the dead letter. And that is why God always, when the Word of God is ministered to us, his grace is sufficient. Now, sometimes we may hear a very challenging word, and it's got our name and address written all over it. But remember, as challenged as you are, God says with that word you've heard, my grace is sufficient. God wouldn't give it otherwise. So it is able to be taken, it is able to be digested, it is able to be learnt. We can get faith from it because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient tonight for us as we assemble together in unity to listen to this word. You see, we accept discipleship, commitment, correction, trials, holiness, relationship, all these things. If we accept discipleship and the conditions of discipleship, then we accept his word. Because we can't know thought unless the word of God is taught us, you see. And so therefore, we cannot pick and choose what we want to hear from the word of God. And God's people will never do that. God's people will always receive the full revelation of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. And they will sit under that. And they will have a hunger for it. Because it's by the word that the bride makes herself ready. And she's making herself ready in these last days. It's by the word that God calls us out to be separate, to touch not the unclean, to come out of harlotry and abomination that a lot of us were once in. It's the word that calls us into true unity and fellowship. It is the sword of the Spirit, the word, that is going to do it. It's the sword of the Spirit that is going to give us that faith that will stand in these last days when so many are going to go to the arm of the flesh and trusting in the arm of the flesh. Why God is giving us faith to believe now? Because every warning is showing us that the arm of the flesh is going to fail in these last days as judgment falls. But the saints of God will stand because they stand by the word that they hear and they feed off and act upon. That is why we cannot pick and choose. God never chose any of us as Christians to choose and pick what we want to hear of his word and what we don't want to hear. We either hear the full revelation of God's word or we don't. And Israel didn't want to hear it all. And that's why she perished in the wilderness. And it is a warning to us today. And even if it does have our name and address on it, God will say, it will tell us, my grace is sufficient. He would have a reason why he's addressing and speaking into your life or working that deliverance in you. There is a reason for it. God never makes a mistake, as we know. And so you decided to be disciples, and we meet the conditions of disciples, then we're going to walk as disciples and receive that manna from on high. Now, I want us to turn to an illustration of this in John chapter 6. We turn to John chapter 6. I want to take it up in verse 47 through onwards, from verse 47 of the Gospel of John. And we're taking up the story now of where Jesus speaks about he's the bread from heaven. In other words, he's the Word made flesh, dwelling amongst men. He has many disciples, 70-odd disciples, and here he begins to reveal to them about the Word. And if we take it up from verse 47, of John 6, we read this, and he says, "Most assuredly I say, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now, of course, Jesus knows that what he's saying there, if they're not receiving this by the Spirit, then this is an offence. Because it's an offence for any Jew, as we know, to eat flesh and blood. Strictly forbidden, of course, under the law. But we go on with this to see that they are not actually seeing who Jesus is. Because Jesus is actually revealing that I am that manna. I am that manna that you rejected. Your fathers rejected. I am now the living bread. I am the manna in the midst of you that you will now partake and eat of. I am the word. And of course we see that they couldn't receive this because they didn't understand. They were in the flesh. They had a carnal mind. And we take it up now in verse 53. "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood and have no life in you, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Brothers and sisters, can you receive it tonight that we are feeding tonight off of Jesus, what he's provided, the living bread, the word made flesh? We're one with him. We're feeding from him. We're drawing life from that food that he gives us. And he goes on, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate their manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Now here we are. This is why I call this teaching tonight, Faith Accepts Has Given Us in His Word. These disciples following Jesus up to now are having a problem now accepting it. "What then? If you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Now Jesus here is beginning to explain to them their problem, why they're not understanding. Now he's being very generous here, he's being merciful. He's helping them because he knows what they're going to do. He knows they're going to go back and he's trying to help them here, but they're still rejecting. How often does God try to help? He goes that extra mile and yet you've got some people who profess his name, throw it back in his face. Now listen what it says, it goes on in verse 64. "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." So he knows there are some here, even though he's just said that, they won't believe. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's what the true saints of God will say. There's nowhere to go. There's no one else. No one else is preaching it. You're the only one that preaches it. And you have the words of eternal life. And they clearly show that they have been called from the foundation of the world, and they hear the word of God. Those disciples that went back, they chose to go back. It actually reads in the Greek, they willed not to believe. Even though Jesus said, this is spiritual what I'm saying to you, they willed, they refused, they didn't want to believe. And that is the tragedy. You find that still goes on today in the house of God, and even sadly amongst some professing Christians. They actually will, they don't want to really believe. But you see, those who truly are called from the foundation of the world, they're going to accept the manner what God gives. Whether sometimes it hurts, whether it's to correct us, or to bring deliverance, or to help us to get free from wrong doctrine and error. At the end of the day, true disciples will simply settle on the word of God and not argue and bicker over it. The word of God was never given to man to argue and bicker over it. And yet you have got rooms in Paltalk that argue and bicker over the word. And it's an abomination before God. God has never given his word to do that, but to hear, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's why we need to pray that God will have mercy. Well, here we see this scene here. These 70 disciples decided they could no longer walk with Jesus. And even Jesus turned to his 12 that were left and said, are you going to go? But you see, they showed the difference. They said, there's nowhere we can go because you speak the truth. You're the only one that speaks it. It's the only word we can hear. We can't hear anything else. And true believers, they can't put their ears to poison that is out there, that heresy. There's just something within your spirit and your heart cannot receive it. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. You see, you cannot release faith when you know there's heresy or there are things that are just not right. There's something within you can't release faith. Because we're told that without faith it is impossible to please God, as it says in Hebrews 11:6. Yet if you've got this poison that's in the word that you hear, you can't release faith on that. We can only release faith in the purity of God's word that is taught to us by the Spirit of God and by the anointing. That is why, again, that there is so much unbelief amongst Christendom. And the reason being is because there's so much confusion and heresy. And that's why there's little faith. But that will not be so with the bride who's making herself ready, the overcomers, the first fruits, because they have sought out where the word of God is taught, where the anointing is, God's word is, and they're going to stay with that, And they're going to draw from life from that. They're going to feed off that. Because you're not feeding off me or a man. What we're feeding off is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his word, which we have read to you. Yes, he raises up vessels. We know he's raising the fivefold ministry. But the point is that those vessels are anointed. They are given the Spirit. They are that mouthpiece in which to help, to build, to mature the true body of Christ, which is what is happening even right now, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, these disciples went back because they failed to see that faith is to change your understanding of God. They couldn't see faith. You see, faith changes us. Faith changes our understanding. Faith, when we act in faith, we experience God. And God is to be experienced. His love is to be experienced. Even when we go through those trials, we experience God in those trials. When we take a step of faith, or we take a step of faith for healing, or we take a step of faith because we have need of money to pay some bills at the end of the month, that faith brings you in contact with Almighty God. It's an experience, because it comes by hearing. And that hearing, which you accept it, you then move in accordance by faith with that which you hear. But you see, they didn't see who Jesus really was. And there are many today who will listen to the word of God, but they're not really seeing who Jesus is. But if we love the word of God, we're not going to see it's a man. We're going to see it's Jesus tonight. This meeting tonight is about Jesus. It's about glorifying him. It's about meeting with him and each other. God just simply uses a vessel. And that vessel must always, when preaching faith, the word of God, point God's people to Jesus every time and his word. Yet sadly we have so many in pulpits that they take the glory, that they are elevated, that they like to think that they have revelation. This is my revelation. This is what God has given me. Oh, how often do we hear that sort of spirit coming out, that pride? No, brothers and sisters. Whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever comes out of my mouth, is because God's chosen to put it there to glorify his name. I can boast in nothing of it except the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But they didn't see who Jesus really was, because they couldn't receive it by the Spirit. For example, you know, we all go out somewhere, or maybe go out to sometimes to a restaurant or whatever it would be, and it's like you order a nice meal, or you see someone at the opposite, on the next table, who's ordered that nice meal, and you think to yourself, yes, I'd like that, that looks really nice. And so you order that meal, and it looks very nice, it might even smell nice, but you don't know what that meal is like, or will be like, unless you eat of it. And it's the same with faith. It's the same with Jesus. It's the same with that manna. Unless we eat of this tonight, brothers and sisters, we don't know what this food is like. And it's there for us, for our taking, if we want it. Faith comes by eating this, if you like. Not just hearing it, but also eating it, partaking of it. That spiritual manna. Taste and see that the Lord is good, absolutely right. That's what it's all about. So don't just look at that meal like a lot of people might do, but eat of it. For God has set a banquet in the desert for us to partake of. And on that banqueting table are things to eat, to partake of. And that's why we partake of his word tonight. We eat of it, that manna. And that's how you will have a faith that will act. A faith that will know what to do. A faith that will endure. A faith that will believe through a physical trial, or a financial trial, or an emotional trial. Faith will know what to do. Because faith isn't picking and choosing what it wants to hear in the word of God. That's the difference. Faith doesn't do that. Faith will even say amen, even if there's an ouch to it, which sometimes there is. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you're never going to know unless you partake. And this is what offended these disciples. Except you eat, Jesus said, you cannot partake of me. And that is, of course, why, as the Spirit leads, we take the bread and we take the wine, which is a symbol in a sense. It's signifying that we partake of him. It's what he left us as an example. It shows us our redemption. It shows that as we break the bread, so his body was broken for us, that through the breaking we may be restored and healed, and through the blood, the wine that we take, that is a sign that his blood was shed to deal with sin, to reconcile us, to bring us back into covenant and relationship and standing and harmony with God. This is why we share this amongst brothers and sisters. I wish we could do it tonight, but sadly we can't because we're all around, scattered around the world. But you know what I mean. In other words, you see, these are all experiences, partaking, eating of Christ, eating of this manna, that we draw life from it. This is why we have to have faith. This is why every time we meet together, we need to have faith, hear faith. It's what keeps us alive, surviving spiritually, preserving and keeping us in this godless, rebellious world that we live in, you see. Otherwise, we'll spiritually shrivel up and die. But I'll tell you what, if you don't eat of this, you will eventually give up and go back, just like those disciples did. And that's what happens. And that's why, sadly, some whom we fellowship with, who go back in whatever way or whatever, is because they've discontinued eating this word. Or they have become selective. We've got people around today who are selective theologians. They want to study and hear what they want to hear. And of course, you can get that in theological college. In theological college, you can get where you can major on certain doctrines of the Bible. But you see, God won't let us do that. He's going to give us the whole counsel of his word. That is why it's a full gospel, brothers and sisters. Well, faith accepts what God has given us in his word. Don't let us commit the sin of becoming selective. But let us be open. Let us always be ready to hear. Let us, as a church, intercede, supplicate, war for this word. Let's press in that God will give us even a greater revelation in these last days, that we can feed more and more off of him. But as I say, we'll only go as far as you're prepared to pray, to intercede. But don't be like those disciples that decided, well, this is a hard saying, we're going to go off. Because there's nowhere to go. Jesus said, the disciples said to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. And praise God. Thank the Lord, there's nowhere else to go. And I thank God for that because, you know, you start looking around and think, oh, well, we'll go here or we'll try this or we'll try that ministry or whatever it would be. It just simply opens more and more up to confusion. Now, it's not to say that you listen just purely to one teacher. That's not what I'm saying. But you listen to those who are anointed and who are preaching the end time message and the end time message of faith, who are preaching the deeper life, discipleship, the cross, who have revelation of the church, the bride that is making herself ready. Any ministry that's got that, that's good enough for me. Because that's what we partake of. That's why at present, with that man-child in Revelation 12, being prepared, forming in the womb, getting ready for our ministries in these last days when the sons of God will be unveiled, revealed to groaning creation. Romans 8. This is why this is so important, brothers and sisters. It's very important how we hear. It's very important how we're receiving of this word. Because every time we get together, God's changing us. He's conforming us more and more into his image. As we eat of him, as we take of this word, this manna, this is changing us. This is bringing the life of Christ in us. That's all we want. We want his life in us to take over. It's not our life anymore. That's why we're crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's why we take up our cross daily. And so that it's the life of Christ in you and me, which is the hope of glory that the world sees. That's what this is all about. And if God's word is not causing you to decrease, that Christ increases more in you, then that word has failed. And therefore we cannot get faith from that. Our faith today will be a greater faith tonight. And the reason I can say this confidently is because I believe after this word tonight, it's going to be more of Jesus in us and less of us. Amen? I believe that. Father, tonight we thank you for this word. Father, you're showing us how you want us just to settle the word, not to be selective, but just have ears and hearts open to receive. And your word will do the rest as we allow it into our hearts and to be sown into our hearts. You will do the rest. You know how to glorify your name. You know how to do it. You just want us out of the way. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you, Father, that we've been able to partake of this word, feast of this word tonight. And I pray that we'll glean all the spiritual nutrients from this, Father, that we may grow more and more in your likeness, and that we may have that stronger faith, a faith that moves mountains, a faith that believes, a faith that won't take no, a faith that will not major on the negative, but on the positive and God's promises. That is a faith we want, Father, in these last days. Because the bride, she will not make herself ready unless she's in faith. And so, Lord, we thank you that faith comes by hearing and reading that word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
flourishes on whatever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is